Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And while you're turning there, I do have... How many of you are ready for God's Word this morning? Are you all in Hebrews chapter 11? Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to begin reading at verse 1. This chapter is known as the faith chapter of the Bible, the chapter of faith. And I want us to begin reading at verse 1, and we're going to read... through the first six verses, and it says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the men of old obtained a good report. By faith, we understand that the universe was framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain offered. Through this, he was approved as righteous, with God testifying concerning his gifts. He still speaks through his faith, though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken to heaven so that he would not see death. He was not found because God took him away. For before he was taken, he had this commendation, or this testimony, that he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I want us to read verses 5 and 6 one more time. It says, By faith, Enoch was taken to heaven, so that he would not see death. He was not found because God took him away. For before he was taken, he had this commendation or testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I want to speak with you for a few moments this morning on the testimony of Enoch. The testimony of Enoch. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we truly know that without you, we are nothing. We ask, Lord, for your presence. We ask for your anointing to be here this morning through the preaching of your word. I ask that, Lord God, your word would find fertile ground in each and every one of our hearts this morning. I pray against distractions in our minds, Lord, that would hinder us from hearing what you have to say. And I pray that most of all, you would use this word to provoke us. You'd use this word to draw us into a closer relationship with yourself. We ask for your blessing upon the preaching of your word in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen and amen. This book of Hebrews was written by an unknown author. We really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some have claimed it was Apollos. Others have said maybe the Apostle Paul. Be that as it may, we don't know who it was. But this writer, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, included this chapter of faith. And we must understand how important faith is. Faith is really the key that unlocks the door into heaven. Faith is the thing that allows us to believe God and see the reality of those things that are unseen to manifest in this seen world. You see, Hebrews 11 verse 1 gives that definition of faith, and it says it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's amazing, that definition. You see, faith is believing for things that aren't tangible, but knowing that it's there, and the ability to believe God in such a way to make those things that are unseen to be manifest in this known and seen world. The Bible says, as it continues on, that it's by faith that we know that God created the world and hung the planets in their place by faith. And that God positioned everything in their places and formed them from nothing, from those things that are unseen. You see, you and I, created in the image of God, have the ability to create, but we can only create from the things that are. But the reality of God is God is able to create things out of nothing. And it's coming from that element of faith. But the Bible goes on to describe many of those people of faith. And of course, we didn't read through the whole chapter. You know, we can read that later on. But I wanted to zero in on the person named Enoch. Enoch was an amazing figure, really. For you see, he's barely mentioned in the book of Genesis. He's mentioned as the writer of Genesis is including a lineage, describing as people beget certain people, or certain people were born from certain people, and that person gave, you know, birth to these ones. And you have the whole lineage of people being mentioned. But out of nowhere jumps out a figure named Enoch. And this man, who was living prior to the flood of Noah, had gained a testimony among the people and with God that he pleased him. This man, Enoch, had such a relationship with God that the Bible says that God took him. That he walked with God and had such a relationship with God in this Old Testament day, that this relationship with God and this walking with God was so intimate and so close that this man named Enoch is still walking with God in the same physical body and has to this day not seen death. Enoch, even right now presently, is walking with God and has never died. This man is probably, what, some 6,000 or so years old and still has the same physical body. And the reality of that relationship that he had with God is shown that he is still walking with God. And as we look at this person named Enoch, we find certain things that will help us to see what we need to have in regards to having that same kind of testimony. Enoch had a testimony. It was something that people noticed about this man. And the testimony wasn't necessarily something that he testified to, but it was such a manner of life that there were people around him that testified in saying, this is the manner of life that Enoch had. And the Bible says clearly that the testimony is that he pleased God. How many of you want to be pleasing to God today? You know, we're living now in 2016. It's a whole new year. And I myself want to live more pleasing to God in 2016 than I did in 2015. Amen? I want to live more pleasing to God now than I did in all of my prior relationship with God. I really want that. And I hope that's every one of our desires. Amen? To really live pleasing to God. You know, sometimes we see our own, you know, failings and shortcomings. You know, we are human and we make mistakes. But oh God, that we would be able to walk with God in a way that's pleasing to Him. Amen? And so I want us to look at a few things in regards to this man Enoch that will help us to understand a little bit about him. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 5. Put a marker there in Hebrews chapter 11. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. And I want us to read the short account that we find about the life of Enoch here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, it's at the very beginning of your Bible. And it begins at verse 18, and it says this. I'll wait for the rustling of the leaves to stop. Some are still turning there. Hebrews chapter 5. But we'll start reading at verse 18. It says this. It says, Jared, this is his father, lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. Jared lived after the birth of Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Whoa, that's a long life. Amen. Enoch, verse 21, lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. This is Enoch's son. And Enoch, verse 22, walked with God after the birth of Methuselah for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him. And we'll stop there. This is the short account of the life of Enoch. It kind of just jumps out of the text. And sometimes when we read through it, we don't really see the treasure that is found just in those few short verses. But Jared, his father, of course, had a son, and of course he named him Enoch. And I want you to just take notice, first of all, at what his name means. If you're taking notes at all, or if you want to write to the side of your Bible, the name Enoch means this. It means dedicated. The name Enoch means dedicated. And for some reason, we really don't know why, Jared would name his son Enoch, or in the way that the Hebrew would come out, he would name him dedicated. And there's something about the meaning of his name that helps us to kind of gain some insight to the life of Enoch. Amen? There are some things that you and I need to be able to grow in our relationship with God. And some of those things are necessary. And if we don't have it, then our relationship with God will not grow. And number one, to be able to have that testimony that we please God is number one, we must have dedication in a relationship with God. Amen? And so even though the whole story of Enoch isn't told to us, we can gain just from the meaning of his name that there was a dedication in the life of Enoch to his God that began to develop a testimony that he pleased God with his life. And we must have dedication in regards to our relationship with God today. And when we have that kind of dedication, when we're walking with God, it will begin to develop a life that will be pleasing to Him. We must have dedication. That means that there must be a determination to walk with our God day in and day out. And I can only imagine what kind of life it was that Enoch had with God. You see, Enoch, just like his name says, dedicated his life in service to God and in serving Him. I can only imagine what that relationship with God must have been like. As the day would start with the sunrise, Enoch must have spent time with God in prayer. There had to have been time that he spent in communion with his God. You know, one thing to think about is that there wasn't a Bible to read. So you couldn't say that he spent time reading the Bible because there wasn't one. But he was dedicated to his God. He spent time in communion with his God, and he would talk to him. You see, there was no way, and I know I've said it many times, but it's still true. There was no way for a relationship to develop but that we spend time with that person to whom we are communing with. But as we spend time with them and we dedicate our time to commune with our Heavenly Father, a relationship will develop. As we dedicate time with our God in prayer, and as we walk with Him and commune with Him, there will be a relationship that is developed. And like Enoch, even though he didn't have a Bible, he had come to the place of developing a relationship with God. Now this relationship began to grow. It began to grow, and I want to show you how it began to grow. Look at verse 22. It says, Enoch, or dedicated, right? Enoch walked with God. He began to walk with God. Look at verse 24. It says, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him. This dedication that he had with his God was something that began to grow as he walked with God. You see, when you walk with someone, and you have devoted your time to keep walking with him each and every day of your life, that relationship is going to grow, and it will grow more and more. If we're walking with someone, that means they're with us, right? That means that they're with us wherever we're going. And you know what? God wants to have such a relationship with you and me that we begin to acknowledge His presence with us in every step that we take. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says that we must learn to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. I want you to say all. All of our ways. Did you know that God was with us when we came to church this morning? Amen. That God is with us now? And that God is going to be with us when we're watching the Broncos game? We need to learn to acknowledge God in all of our ways. And you know what? When we begin to learn that beautiful truth of acknowledging God in all of our ways, and we realize that God is with us in every step we take, wherever we go, in every conversation we have, in every movie we watch, in every website we search, that we will begin to pattern our lives the way that God wants us to. Amen? You don't always have to have a Bible verse saying, "Thou shalt not." All we have to do is acknowledge God in all of our ways in that simplicity of a relationship, and it will impact our lives. You know, sometimes the church tries to make ways for us to remember to acknowledge God, to acknowledge God. And sometimes, you know, they go and get those bracelets. And they say WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? You know, you don't need to have a bracelet to remind you. You got to remember He makes His residence in our hearts. Amen? The Bible says we're the temple of God. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus came to make His residence within. What does that mean? He's everywhere that we are. And if we will simply learn to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and like Enoch, dedicate our lives, right? Being dedicated to following after God and walking with Him, or acknowledging that there He is with us, that relationship is going to grow and it will develop into something that will begin to change our lives forever and forever. You know, what I'm speaking to you today is not complicated. It's actually very simple. But it's actually something that develops such a beautiful life. You see, Christianity isn't church attendance. Christianity isn't Bible memorization. Christianity is walking with our God. That is true Christianity. That is what's going to keep us wherever we go. You know, it saddens me when, you know, whenever Christianity just turns into church attendance, then it's really never been a relationship, has it? But true Christianity is going to be a relationship. But if you were to leave Center, Colorado, and move to another town, that relationship with God is going to lead you to find a people and a place to get together to worship God together. Amen? You see, church attendance is about our relationship with God first, and then our fellowship with God's people. Amen? It's a relationship with God. It's really more outside the church doors than it is inside the church doors. Praise God. Enoch understood, just like his name, that there needed to be dedication. And then, from that dedication, gave rise to a walk with God. But then thirdly, it developed into a life of faith. You see, we walk with God, and as we walk with God, turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 again. As we are going to be dedicated to our God and grow in that relationship, and as we begin to develop that relationship that we're walking with God, faith is going to be developed in our hearts and lives. And that faith that develops is going to bring forth a life that is pleasing to God. Amen. Let's see it again. Verse 5 and 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Enoch was taken to heaven so that he would not see death. He was not found because God took him away. For before he was taken, he had this testimony or commendation that he pleased God. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists, or that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I can guarantee you this, that as you dedicate your lives to God, and as I dedicate my life to God, and as I begin to grow in my relationship with him and walk with God, that faith is going to develop within my heart and in your heart to where you will begin, through your conversation with God, you're going to begin to see God do things in your life. And all of those things that are not are going to become those things that are. You're going to be praying about things that are not. You're going to be praying about things that only God can do. And God is going to answer those prayers and call those things that are not into the things that are. I mean, that might sound very confusing. But there are times that only God can answer your prayers. There are times when you don't have the money to pay that debt. And you pray. And you dedicate your life to seeking Him and loving Him. And God will supply your need. Simple story. In the Bible school that I was a part of when I was a student, I was one of the people that actually worked with the yearbook. And I was taking pictures and helping with the yearbook and developing the yearbook. It came to the point where I didn't have any money. No money over there in Bible school. Nothing. And the yearbook at that time, because there were so few students and so few yearbooks, the price of each yearbook was actually more because it had to pay for a fewer amount. And so the cost of the yearbook was, what, $50 to $70? I forget. Just because there were so few of us. And I didn't have the money. And so what did I do? Well, I was walking with my God. Amen? And I said, Lord, I work on the yearbook. I want to have a yearbook, Lord. I didn't go and spread everything around and say, hey, you know what? You know, I don't have any money for my yearbook. And telling people all around so that hopefully somebody would just fill on their hearts to give me money. You know, I didn't do that. I didn't tell a soul of my need. But I talked to my Father in heaven. Amen? And I said, Lord, I want one of those yearbooks. Lord, give me the money to buy a yearbook. And I prayed in faith. And one morning, I had my room and I was walking around there praying to Jesus, just talking to God. And as I was walking, all of a sudden a white thing just flew from under the door. A white piece of paper flew. And so I looked down and I said, what's that? And so when I picked it up, it was an envelope. And in that envelope, it just said, James. And so I cracked it open. And the exact amount of money that I needed for my yearbook was in that envelope. God answered my prayer. I didn't tell anybody. I like when it's that way. Amen? Because then you know God is at work in your life. Another time, I was there at Timothy House in Spanish Harlem, New York City. And I was there helping and just helping to teach, do whatever I was doing to help out there at the Timothy House. It was like a program, like a teen challenge. And I was there in prayer, and I'm from Capitoline, Colorado, man. I'm from small town, even smaller than Center, USA. You know what I mean? I don't know anything, you know. You know, I'm from the boonies, like they say, right? And I was there that morning, and they told us, you know what, you got to get a cab. You got to get a cab to get from Spanish Harlem all the way back to Broadway over there in New York City, you know, where the ball falls over there, you know, every New Year's. Go to Times Square Church, get a cab there. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to call a cab. I didn't know anything. And so I remember that night, you know, they had bunk beds in there, you know, for some of the men, and they let us stay in one of the rooms. So I was there on my knees, and I said, Lord, I don't know how to get a taxi. Lord, I don't know how to wave one down. I don't know anything about taxis. Lord, we got to get a taxi. So I'm asking you, Lord, that when we walk outside, a taxi will pass right in front of us and it'll even just stop for us and ask us if we need a ride because I don't know how to wave one down, Lord. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Simple prayer. And you know what? Me and another guy named Tim Williams, we walked out of Timothy House that morning. And we walked out to the street, and there comes the taxi. It slowed down, and they said, you need a ride? And I said, you better believe it. We got on that taxi. They gave us a ride to there, to Times Square Church. And there we were with everybody there. You know, God answered my prayer. You know, it's simple. They're simple things. What am I saying? That as we dedicate ourselves to our God, as we begin to walk with God, our relationship is going to begin to grow. Amen? We'll acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and it's going to develop faith. And we're going to begin to pray, and you know what God's going to do? He's going to answer those prayers because we're praying in faith, because we have a relationship with the God that is known. Look what it says there in verse 6. It says, again, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The scripture makes a promise here that if you will diligently seek the face of God, God is going to reward your faith with answers. Amen? And it's not like all of a sudden you're going to be believing God for, you know, it's going to take steps. Amen? And he's going to answer small prayers and then bigger prayers, and God's going to move and perform things that you never thought God could do. God answers prayer. Amen? But it's really simple, and it's all found, first of all, in the name of Enoch, dedicated. Amen? It's found in the fact that he walked with God, a relationship developed. And thirdly, it developed faith and prayer answers. And when you have those prayer answers start happening, I'm telling you what, your faith is fortified. Amen? And you know what happened? God took him. And you know what? As you develop in your relationship with God, we can look forward to the day when God takes us. Amen? Oh, man. How many of you are looking forward to that day when he takes you home? If you are, say amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. And I thank God for the fact that he is developing faith within our hearts here in Center Assembly of God. Amen? He's doing something great. And so I want us to pray together. First, that God will give us that kind of faith that pleases him. If you want faith that pleases God, it's going to take dedication to him. Amen? It's going to take the development of a relationship with him. It starts with just beginning to commune with him day by day. And then we're going to develop a faith that pleases him. And so if you want that, I want us to come to the altar and pray together. I want us to pray, God, develop within us a faith that pleases you. Praise God. Thank God for Enoch. It might seem like a little story, but it's a small story that contains so much. How many of you know that God loves you this morning? If you do, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, as you make your way here, I want us to pray together. And as I pray, let it come from your own hearts, that prayer to God, to develop within you and within all of us that kind of faith that pleases him. Amen. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord God, for everyone that is here at this altar and here within this room. Lord, at times it can be hard, Lord God, and it can seem like this kind of relationship can only be for a certain kind of people. When the reality is that, Lord, you want to develop this kind of faith within each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what our background has been. It doesn't matter where we come from, Lord. You love each and every one of us here. And Lord, I come before you in the name of Jesus that you would cancel out every lie of the devil in Jesus' name that would hinder anyone from developing this relationship with you in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord God, every lie would be dispelled, would be cast out in Jesus' name, and that your loving word would speak to every heart, that, Lord God, you want to develop within each and every one of us this kind of faith that pleases you. I pray that, Lord God, you would put within us, Lord God, that desire to dedicate our lives in following after you. that, Lord God, we would set aside time to pray. Lord God, to develop communion with you. Lord, sometimes it starts very hard. Lord God, it's not always natural for us to do this. We can't see you. We do it by faith. But I pray that as we begin to dedicate this time in prayer, that, Lord God, it begin to develop in the reality of answered prayer. That, Lord God, we would begin to walk with you, acknowledging you in all of our ways. Yes. Lord God, asking you for direction concerning decisions that we make. That, Lord God, we would know that truly you make your residence within our hearts and that you're with us wherever we go. That, Lord, we can ask you, we can talk to you, we can ask you about whatever it is that we're facing. We can talk to you about it because you are there. Oh God, I pray that that relationship would develop, oh God, and that we would walk with you like Enoch did. And I pray that as we do, oh God, that our faith in you would be a faith that brings pleasure to you. Oh God, that we'd begin to see answers to prayer like we've never seen them before. That, Lord God, it would be coming as a result of our relationship because we are walking with you. Let it not be just in the hard times we pray. God, let it be, Lord God, truly that it's at every point of our lives that, Lord God, we are learning to acknowledge you in all of our ways. God, I pray for everyone that is here this morning that, Lord God, you would use this word to speak to the hearts. Lord, I pray that it would find fertile ground. I pray that throughout the week, Lord God, that you'd remind us, O God, of your word. And I pray that, Lord God, it would develop within us a relationship with you that can, Lord God, grow and abound. And that we would see the effects of that relationship in how you reward us, Lord. For you said clearly in your word that you will reward those that will diligently seek you. O God, I pray for that in the name of Jesus. And again, Lord, if there is anyone at the sound of my voice, Lord, that is just struggling to surrender, struggling to give their life over to you, that, Lord, you would gently and yet strongly at the same time continue to knock on that heart's door and show this individual or individuals that, Lord God, giving their lives to you is the greatest thing that can ever be done. That, Lord, you have something beautiful in store. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would go with us, Lord. Bless the remainder of our day. And I pray that you'd keep us this afternoon in the name of Jesus. And I pray throughout the week that, Lord, we would truly acknowledge you in all of our ways. God, help us to walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless each and every one of you. You all have a wonderful week.